Early in the life of the church, our ancestors in faith had questions. They had questions about the resurrection. There were things about the story that they wanted to know, that they wanted to reflect on and try to understand. One of the questions that they had was what was going on from the time that Jesus was taken off the cross and buried until this morning when he appeared to Mary Magdalene. What was happening then? What was he doing? This question was compounded by the fact that the story says that she looked in and saw the linen that would have lain over his face rolled up and set aside. In other words, intentionally. Like Jesus got up with a purpose. He got up and made the bed and went to work. What was he doing? What was the intention of that time when he got up from the tomb? What was happening? As many of you have heard me say before, when one of my favorite lines in all of Scripture is that wonderful line, supposing him to be the gardener. Because he is. He's the gardener of a new creation that is brought about by this resurrection. And in this story, Mary Magdalene is the new Eve, just like Jesus risen is the new Adam. What's the new creation like? What's that about? So many questions. Early in the life of the church, there was a bishop, a second century bishop of the city of Sardis named Melito. Melito was much respected as a bishop. Other bishops asked Melito his opinion and sought out his teaching. Melito even took a position on what should be the date of Easter that was different from what finally the councils of the church decided, but nobody thought that that made Melito a heretic. And they still sought out his advice. Melito understood the crucifixion and the resurrection as all of a piece. There are lots of folks I find in the world who think that Jesus came and he lived, and they sort of don't talk too much about what he did while he was alive, and then he died, and that paid a price for our sins, and then he got rewarded for doing that by rising. This is not the ancient teaching of the church. The ancient teaching of the church is that everything from his birth, his life and ministry, his death, and his resurrection were all one action specifically designed for God to love us and gather us in. It's important to remember that. This is all one action. It's why in the church we talk about not the meaning of the crucifixion, but the mystery of Christ's dying and rising. Because it's all one action. And what Melito taught, and what many of the earliest Christians found, was that the crucifixion itself was yet one more piece of the work begun at Christmas. That God's creative word became flesh and lived a life like you and I live. He was born, he lived and ministered. We're born, we live. Hopefully we're out there ministering. And we have to die. So he died too. Christ went everywhere we have to go, from the best to the worst. And then he rose, and that rising is like taking us out of the depths of Hades, grabbing us by the hand, and pulling us out. It's important for us to remember that great sweep of action whereby God integrates our life, our living and dying, into God's own life. I like the way Melito says it. Let me find it for you here. When this one being Christ, when this one came from heaven to earth for the sake of the one who suffers, and had clothed himself with that very one through the womb of a virgin, and having come forth as a man. That's the incarnation. That's the Christmas story. He accepted the sufferings of the sufferer through his body, which was capable of suffering. And he destroyed those human sufferings by his spirit, which was incapable of dying. He killed death, which had put man to death. This is the Lamb that was slain. This is the Lamb that was silent. Melito describes in hushed tones the mystery of Christ taking on the fullness of human life and the fullness of human experience, including death. Now, part of the reason why I'm talking about Melito today is because then he goes on to describe the resurrection in a most powerful way. And I decided to talk about Melito because our children are leading us today by singing at communion time an anthem of words by Melito of Sardis. So pay attention. But he describes the resurrection as Christ going into hell, like going into Hades, like it was believed everyone did then, going into Hades, but being the creative Word of God, and therefore bursting the bonds of Hades and coming out from hell. If you have a chance today, I invite you to come over and look at the icon in front of the ambo here. I put an icon there related to the season of the year, throughout the year. That is the icon of the resurrection. And it shows Christ standing on the broken down doors of hell, over the pit of hell. And he's grabbed Adam and Eve by the hand, and he's pulling them out of their tombs. And if you look closely, you'll notice that Adam is barefoot. And the story that goes with the icon is that Jesus grabbed Adam and Eve and yanked them from death into life with such force that he pulled Adam right out of his shoes. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? Imagine Christ yanking you from death to life. Also, when you look at the icon in the pit, you'll notice a whole lot of little twisted, bent pieces of metal. Those are the locks and the hinges of hell that Christ has torn open. It's a powerful image. It's based on an understanding of Christ having taken on our whole human experience, including the dying, and going into death itself and tearing open the doors and yanking us from death into life. It's a powerful, powerful understanding of all that Christ did for us. And Melito, when he switches from describing the death in the hushed tones of the Paschal Lamb, he switches to loudness. I love loudness. I'm a loud person. I like loudness. He switches to that. The Lord, having put on human nature and having suffered for him who suffered, that's us, and having been bound for him who was bound, that's us, and having been buried for him who was buried, thus, is risen from the dead, yes, loud, and loudly proclaims this message. Don't ever stop loudly proclaiming the message. Loudly proclaims the message. Who will contend against me? Let him stand before me. It is I who delivered the condemned. It is I who gave life to the dead. It is I who raised up the buried. Who will argue with me? It is I, says the Christ, who destroyed death. It is I who triumphed over the enemy, and having trod down Hades and bound the strong man, and having snatched mankind up to the heights of heaven, it is I, says the Christ. That's what the resurrection means. So then, come here, all you families of men, weighed down by your sins, and receive pardon for your misdeeds, for I am your pardon. I am the Passover which brings salvation. I am the lamb slain for you. I am your lustral bath. I am your life. I am your resurrection. I am your light. I am your salvation. I am your king. It is I who brings you up to the heights of heaven. It is I who will give you the resurrection there. It is I who will show you to the eternal Father. I will raise you up with my own right hand. Powerful, powerful statement by a second century bishop. Understanding and wrestling with the meanings of the resurrection. And I call attention particularly to a certain part. So often we go through life thinking, maybe if I'm just good enough, Jesus will forgive me and I might get to sneak into heaven. And Melito doesn't say that. Jesus doesn't say, I forgive you. He says, I am your pardon. I am your pardon. It's not that Jesus forgives, it's that Jesus himself is the forgiveness. Jesus himself is the pardon. The whole Christ event, from his birth that we celebrate at Christmas, to his death that we celebrate on Good Friday, to his resurrection that we celebrate this morning, the whole Christ event is God's work of forgiveness for us. Christ does the work of salvation and does it completely. Our only job is to get on board. It is Christ who brings us life. It is Christ who yanks us from death into life. That is the meaning of this day. That is the meaning of this season. The great 50 days of Easter that the church directs us to celebrate. 50 days of church-sanctioned partying starts today. Because Christ yanks us from death into life. That's what salvation means. That's what atonement means. That's the work that Christ did from his birth to his death through his resurrection. It is I, says the Christ, who destroyed death.